This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. And with all the attention being paid to the presidential race right now, we wanted to make sure we didn't overlook our state and local elections. Recent redistricting in North Carolina, Governor Perdue's decision to forego a second term make this election season especially interesting and turbulent. Jessica Jones is here. She is our own Capitol Bureau Chief at WUNC. And Laura Leslie is with us as well, Capitol Bureau Chief for WRAL-TV. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here on the program.
Thank you.
Jessica, I know you've been following the money this election cycle. Tell us about it. A lot more of it available for the candidates this time.
That's right. There certainly is a lot more money. And before the Supreme Court Citizens United decision in 2010, we saw a rising tide of contributions to candidates in local and state races. But in this post-Citizens United landscape, we've seen really what many people call a flood of money coming in to various candidates from all kinds of special interest groups, both groups that are formed inside our state to groups that are headquartered outside our state.
How does it look in terms of the ratios, though, and by comparison? I mean, is a lot more money coming in from outside, or can you tell? I guess it's difficult to tell these days because of the way finances are structured.
That's right. It is very difficult to tell. With some of these groups, we know who the contributors are. With other groups, we don't know who all of the contributors are. For example, the 501c4 groups, don't have to disclose who all of their contributors are. So it's getting much more difficult to know exactly who's contributing to which campaign. Now, certainly we have a sense of, what the political leaning of these groups are. And I would say that most of the groups that are really getting involved here in North Carolina tend to be Republican, and they're putting a lot of money into local and state races.
And can we tell, again, are any of the numbers in terms of who's getting the most money, Republicans or Democrats?
Well, some of the numbers are in. We won't have all of the totals until the end of the quarter that we're in, which ends after Election Day. But we've seen a lot of money go toward advertising, especially for some very contested Senate races. We've seen a lot of money poured into the gubernatorial campaign. That's another one that's attracted a lot of special interest money. So we're seeing it in a number of races, especially where Republican groups have a very strong interest in either getting Republicans into those seats or helping Republican incumbents stay in those seats.
So at this moment, then, it does seem that more money is going to the Republicans than the Democrats?
Absolutely.
So what do the Democrats say about this? It should be a level playing field. I mean, Citizens United didn't favor one party over the other. What are the Democrats saying about not being able to capitalize on this?
Well, to tell you the truth, there just aren't that many Democratic groups that are contributing. There is one, Common Sense Matters. It's a 527 that also contributed in the Wake School Board elections. And that's probably the Democratic fundraising group that really stands out in terms of giving regular contributions to candidates that it wants to see either stay in its seats and get elected. But Republicans have been more organized. And I think some of that is their maybe more traditional alliance with some business interests. They just have been more organized in terms of dealing with this new post-Citizens United landscape. And some Democratic political strategists say that after a couple of election cycles, I think they think that more Democrats will come to the fore, but it's going to take them time to catch up. And the other issue also is that there are a lot of deep Democratic pockets in North Carolina, and they just haven't given as much. Again, we're really in a new era, I think, of political contributions, and Democrats have just been slower to both empty their pockets and also just organize themselves.
Let's talk about the particulars in this upcoming election. Laura Leslie, let's talk about the gubernatorial race. What's at stake here, and how are things going?
Well, actually, can we back up for a second and just talk money for a minute?
Sure.
Because I think it's important to point out that Democrats are getting money, but they're getting it from the traditional groups that they've gotten the money from, which tend to be labor and unions. Like, if you look, for example, at the lieutenant governor's race, Linda Coleman, pretty much her entire TV presence has been organized by a third party, by the State Employees Association of North Carolina, a labor group. And we do have the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee pouring a lot of money into the campaign for Mike McIntyre down in the 7th Congressional District. So, I mean, I would just add to what Jessica was saying that, I think part of the problem for Democrats is not just that they're not organized, but number one, they're not in power.
Mm-hmm.
Money flows to power, and they don't have any of it at the moment. And number two, they haven't had to be organized because they've run things for a long time. And so, you know, Democrats who are on the fundraising end of the party here in the state will tell you, they'll be the first to admit that their fundraising strategy is pretty much non-existent because they haven't needed really to have one. They have run things for so long that the money has pretty much come to them. They haven't had to go figure out how to get it, actively.
Is it fair to say, though, that for both parties, there is greater interest at the state and local level, particularly the state level, by national interest, by interest outside the state? Laura?
You know, that's a tough one. I mean, I don't think we're seeing, you know, we always see some money coming from outside the state in congressional races because, of course, you know, that depends, that affects the balance of power in D.C. At the local level or like at the maybe council of state level, we're not seeing that much outside money from outside of the state. I mean, the thing is, you know, this presidential campaign that's going on and some of the really hot, you know, contested Senate races around the country are really draining donors dry. You know, and that's where the money is going. And I think our own, you know, our own candidates here in North Carolina will tell you, you know, it's really been a struggle this year to get money because so much of it is going to these higher profile, sort of nationally recognized races.
We talked about money flowing to power. Bev Perdue is in power, but deferred. She's not running, and that leaves the race to two people who are not incumbent. Tell us
right.
How that race is going.
It's not going very well for Walter Dalton. He came into this late. He's the Democratic candidate. He came in late. You remember that that Bev Perdue pretty much shocked the entire political establishment when she decided to announce at the end of January, I think it was, that she wasn't going to run for re-election. That's not a lot of lead time for a potential successor to sort of get a ground game going, to get organized, to get staff hired, to start raising money. But, you know, I mean, it's probably fair to say that even if Dalton had all the time in the world and more money, it would have been a tough sell. You know, we've had, 20 years, I think, of Democratic governors. A couple of them have been in trouble in very high-profile ways. And, you know, Pat McCrory, the Democrats like to say, has been running for 5 years. But, you know, that's actually kind of a fair thing to say. He was a candidate in 2008, did pretty well in 2008, almost beat Bev Perdue in 2008, and has the ability to get some crossover votes from Democrats, too. So he is a tough contender, and Dalton sort of started, you know, a little bit behind to begin with, and it just hasn't moved much. I mean, all the money, all the debates, all the time, the poll numbers are still pretty much where they were back in May.
So the debates, there have been a couple of debates, and they're all in the news these days. The impact of debates, any indication that the debates have had an influence on voter opinion in the governor's race?
Not very much. Actually, you know, and the timing of this is a lot to do with it. These first two debates have been on the same night as presidential debates, right, just an hour apart. And honestly, it's just sucked any wind out of the sails that they would have had. You know, there's just they've gotten lost in the news cycle because everybody's talking about the presidential debate. So it's not clear really how many people are even paying attention to the gubernatorial debates. You know, and I mean, of course, Democrat Walter Dalton is hoping that they are because, you know, this is his chance to sort of introduce himself. His biggest problem when you look at his polling numbers isn't that people don't like him. It's that they don't know who he is. And it takes a lot of money to let people know who you are, you know. And on top of that, with this campaign cycle and all the ads and all the presidential races and those third-party ads that Jessica was talking about, I mean, it is almost impossible to make your voice heard this year if you're not somebody that people already know.
Let's talk about the congressional races. I'll stay with you, Laura. The impact of redistricting on those races.
Well, you know, that remains to be seen. I mean, you know, there's a couple of races that, you know, are, for example, the 13th congressional district, which Brad Miller is currently the incumbent and is not running for reelection. That district was, I think it's maybe only 20 or 30% of what it used to be. You know, it's been changed completely around. And in that district, Republican George Holding is running against Democrat Charles Malone. The district is so heavily Republican at this point that it would take something pretty epic for Mr. Malone to find a way to win that. You know, we've also got Congresswoman Renee Elmers, and she's, you know, her district has been changed as well, but it's actually a little bit more Republican. So there's a lot of Republicans who have slightly safer districts. and a lot of Democrats who don't. You know, there's a couple of Democrats that could very well lose their seats, and we could be looking at, you know, a congressional delegation with a balance of 9 Republicans and 4 Democrats, or even 10-3, as opposed to the current balance, which is 7 Democrats, 6 Republicans. So that gives you some idea of how radically those districts change.
And Jessica, you've been looking at some state legislative races. One of them is in the 18th between Doug Berger, the incumbent, and Chad Barefoot. Tell us, where is the 18th district and a little bit about that race?
That's right. Well, that's a very, very interesting race because Senator Doug Berger, who served in the state Senate for 4 terms, has seen a dramatic change from his previous district, and that used to consist of 4 counties, Franklin, his home county, Granville, Vance, and Warren counties. And he was redrawn into District 18, which pairs his home county of Franklin with big portions of Wake County. And what that means for him is that the new district that he's in is less Democratic. Now, talking about some of the special money that is going into races, you know, there are a number of local and state races that have been targeted. It's not like everybody is getting the special interest money, but there are some key races in which we're seeing a lot of money poured into the race, especially by Republican-leaning groups, and this is one of them. So Chad Barefoot, the challenger to Senator Berger, the Republican challenger, is a 29-year-old former aide to House Majority Leader Paul Stamm. And, you know, it's clear that there are many party leaders who really want him to have that seat. And it's estimated that as much as $600,000 has been poured into that race, both in terms of advertising and other costs. Now, that's a lot of money for one Senate seat where, you know, the yearly salary is something like $14,000. But of course, we all know that those seats aren't about the $14,000 salary.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program today. Jessica Jones, our Capitol Bureau Chief here at WUNC, and Laura Leslie, Capitol Bureau Chief for WRAL-TV. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Just ahead, other people's home movies. We'll talk about how they aren't so boring. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.